Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here today again at Abounding Grace. Yesterday, we started this fascinating study of Philippians chapter 3, where we looked at these two kinds of righteousness that Paul here describes and outlines for us. The one that comes by trying to keep the law, by human law keeping, and try to please God and to earn His favor, earn his right into heaven by the good works that he does, and the other kind of righteousness which comes by faith alone in Christ alone. And in verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul of Philippians chapter 3 highlights a particular type of person that he once was in this world, apart from what he had become in Christ Jesus and this different life that he now had. And so he looks at really his life as Saul and contrasts it now with his life as Paul, and he looks back and he shows us what these two kinds and these two systems of righteousness really look like. Now, this, of course, is not the first time the Apostle Paul had done this. In fact, in the book of Romans, he outlines three types of people who live in this world who are controlled by this certain type of life. This kind of righteousness, this human kind of righteousness that people are trying to pursue. And all three of these that I'm about to outline for you today fall into the category of this earthly life apart from the life of Jesus Christ. And the first one Paul outlined is in Romans chapter 1. And really what he describes there is we could label as the hedonist. What is a hedonist? Well, a hedonist is simply defined someone who lives with the belief that pleasure is the principal good of life. And therefore, the pursuit of pleasure directs action. My standards direct action, and therefore, since pleasure is the goal, it is the objectivity, the moral of everything that I do, the seeking out of pleasure. The hedonist is always turning to the inner through meditation, through insights, whatever, to direct action. And Paul describes these people in Romans chapter 1. They are constantly suppressing the knowledge of the one true God, and they're pursuing their own lusts, futile in their thoughts. Their hearts are darkened. And how does Paul describe them? Well, the pleasures that guide them turn into what? Gross sexual immorality. Uncleanness, vile passions, he'll define there, he says, which includes an exchanging of what the natural use is for that against nature, a debased mind. The world is with this type of approach and these types of people. The news for the past weeks has been obsessed with the death of one of the greatest hedonists of our day. Simply put, it is everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. Paul says there is that type of person in the world. That's the first category. What's the second? Well, the second is the moralist. Now, the moralist is a different type of person. The moralist leads a moral life. He shakes his head at the hedonist. He says, that's foul. They're wasting their lives. That's a disgusting way of life, says the moralist. You ask him then, well, what guides your life? What are your standards that set apart you from the hedonists? They have something. I live by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is my standard, or my standard is the Ten Commandments. I've never murdered. I've never stolen anything. I've been faithful to my wife. Philanthropy is the tithe of the moralist. I help the AIDS victims in Africa. I give my money for this or for that. I remember growing up and there was an older couple that lived across the street from me, and they were the most friendly couple. They weren't Christians, but they would have given you the shirt off their back. They'd mow your lawn if you needed it. They worked hard. Their home was kept very nice. They would bring you meals if you were in need, anything you needed. All of us know people like this. You long for them because I would think, Lord, they're not that bad. And they're not like the hedonist. we classify them as sort of higher on the scale. They're better people. But my friends, at the end of the day, it is still a standard of their own righteousness and not that of Christ. People always are upsetting up their own objective standards by the way they live and try to pursue this, and that is the moralist. Now, what is the final person of this other life? So we've had two we've outlined so far. The Apostle Paul outlines the hedonist, he outlines the moralist, and then he uses himself in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, to describe this type of other person, this third type of person in this certain kind of righteousness. Listen to verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So in other words, if anyone thinks they have confidence in the kind of righteousness that comes by the law, this worldly life, I can play that game better than anyone else. No one can touch me. If this was the standard, I excelled beyond everyone. So what Paul is saying is this. I wasn't a hedonist. I wasn't even a moralist. I was a religious person. And the best one at that. And I still didn't have the righteousness that God demanded. I mean, that's the whole point of Philippians chapter 3. And so he says, as a religious person, he then goes on to outline all of his great accomplishments in this life. Seven of them. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Look, I received it exactly as commanded through Abraham. Look, I'm of the people of Israel. I have all these privileges of being an Israelite. They're mine by birth. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. If we know history, that tribe was the most beloved of the Lord. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he says. I'm pure Hebrew. I'm of pure stock. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. I was of the most prestigious religious group of the day. We had memorized the Torah, and I excelled above all of them at that. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. As for zeal, persecuting the church, he says. Look, I put my beliefs into action. I was ready to destroy the Christian movements. Now here's the real kicker at the very end of this. And finally, as to the righteousness and the law, did we hear that? And finally, as to the righteousness in the law, blameless. That's what everything here is driving to. The most important statement is right there. Paul says, if you looked at my life and my conduct, it was faultless according to what the law outlined, meaning it would be kind of like a baseball player saying, I have no errors on my record. That'd be the best of the best. His card would go up in value. Paul's saying, when you looked at me, whatever defined the best of the best according to what a Pharisee was and what a religious person is, I was it. I was on that side. I was the man. What Paul is basically saying here is this kind of righteousness in all three types of people produces a certain confidence in the flesh, in who we are as human beings. It's a seeking after a production of my own righteousness, my own goodness before God. But at the end of the day, my friends, there's no joy in it. It is of this world, and it will land you in hell. All three kinds. So you have the hedonist first. You have three. The hedonist. James Rockefeller once was asked, how much money will it take to make you happy? He answered, a little more. The hedonist. The hedonist. Then the moralist. It's interesting, the surrounding Ronald Reagan's funeral, even on his graveside, it says there, a grave inscription, I know in my heart that man is good. That's the ideals of a moralist. People think that men are good because they live by some standard. Well, who's the most dangerous of the three? The religious person. Listen, why? Because he can wear the mask. And this is always the case with this third type of person. The religious persons, they think their church attendance pleases God. They think their tithes please him. They think their status and their baptism pleases him. They think that their profession of faith pleases them. All of these things, because they put a vain confidence in them instead of Christ, they think will gain acceptance before God. But at the end of the day, my friends, and this is where the whole point is this morning, whether one is a hedonist, whether one is a moralist, or whether one is a religious person, the same is still true of all three. They're pursuing a righteousness that God will never accept. James Boyce tells of a carnival that takes place every year in Basel, Switzerland. It's a wild carnival of immorality, debauchery, and so on. Everyone knows what's going on, but no one knows who it is because everyone's wearing a mask. In the same way, the religious person can be the most dangerous in Christ's church because he wears a mask. He puts on the show of religion, but on the inside, he's trusting in himself. But God knows the heart, my friends. And he's telling all of us today, if we're wearing a mask and we're still in the pursuance of this kind of worldly life, we will be condemned. Do you see what Paul is saying to us here? You must have this other life. You must have this other righteousness. And when you do, it's then and only then that everything else in this life will become lost to you. But not before then. And this is where we see a great forfeit of everything else other than Jesus Christ. Our lives must be a pursuance of Jesus. Our lives must be a longing to gain him. Because in him, you see, there's this other righteousness. This righteousness that comes that far exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the best religionists of the day. It's the righteousness that God grants and imputes to our accounts by faith alone. Do you know what happens when a sinner turns to Christ and believes in him, rests upon him, throws down all of his efforts to be saved, and puts his confidence in him? It's a great judicial thing where the Father declares that this sinner who was once accursed in this other system of righteousness now has the righteousness of Christ reckoned right to his account. And it's this great transfer. All of our evil sin, all of our bad record went on to Christ, and he paid for it on the cross. But when we believe, we receive his clear slate, a clear start, a brand new fresh start in this life. Do you want that, my friends? It only comes when you stop pursuing the kind of righteousness that comes by the ideals of the hedonist, the moralist, and the religionist. Confidence in their religion apart from Christ. Those are the kinds of things that will land you in hell. But at the end of the day, when your confidence is in Jesus alone, you have the wonderful assurance that heaven is yours, that Christ is yours, and that all of life now is seeking to gain him and this wonderful righteousness that God has provided for you in Christ. And that comes today by faith alone. Believe in him, trust in him alone today, and you will know the kind of righteousness that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. This week at the Linden URC, we'll be learning more about this wonderful life of joy and peace that the Apostle Paul describes in Philippians chapter 3. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. this Sunday. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. We have many resources there for you. You may also give us a call if you have any questions, 360-318-0429. Thanks for joining us today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.